Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast for the Vineyard Church in Campbellsville, Kentucky. If you haven't already, we encourage you to check out our audio archive at vineyardcampbellsville.org. You can also subscribe on iTunes or wherever you like to get podcasts. And now, here's this week's message.
All right, good morning. Everybody get meted and greeted. I always struggle with these, with the beard. My name's Trent, and good to be here. I'm not advertising Campbell's University. This is the only shirt. I made the joke in the prayer group this morning. It's the only shirt that wasn't wrinkled. And so I actually asked Sarah, because I'm nervous about wearing sweatshirts now. The college kids told me you can't show, like, a shirt underneath. That's a wrong thing to do. So So if you didn't know, if you have a shirt under your sweatshirt, it can't be shown. All right? Just so you guys know. So I'm nervous about wearing a sweatshirt, and I'm sweating now, so before I've even preached. My name's Trent. I serve at the university, and glad to be here with you guys today. We're going to be in 1 John again, so if you have a Bible and you want to check that out, 1 John chapter 3. Really, just to kind of recap, Adam really began to help us see that this whole book is about understanding that we know that we have a relationship with God, and that's rooted in three things, I think, that he kind of brought out in that first sermon, that we'll have faith in Jesus, obedient to the Father, and we'll love others. Emily talked about this animating love and living this consistent life, and so we're going to keep diving into that a little bit further. And really, I think that when I was thinking of a word that came to my mind, John is addressing people that have kind of been shook. You guys, are you familiar with this term, shook? You guys know this? Everybody say it with me, shook. Very good. It's if something kind of went wrong. So, you know, for example, let's say you set your alarm, but you didn't hear your alarm, and now you are 10 minutes late. You're a little shook. You're a little shook that you're late. Anybody ever had that happen? Yeah, I set 5 alarms, and I'm always late on that situation. Or, for example, a couple of weeks ago, I was doing a wedding in West Kentucky. I thought I'd timed everything perfectly and, you know, had more time. I was hanging out with the kids. We were at Land Between the Lakes. You know, I've done everything, ironed the pants, all that kind of stuff. And like, man, we almost have too much time. I get to the church and just, you know, the right amount of time to change clothes. I open the back of the van and I'm like, where's my pants? Where are my pants at? I was a little shook. So luckily, Sarah had been to the Walmart, because that's one of the most important things you need to know wherever you go is where the Walmart is. And so we peel out 2.5 minutes. And we found, I was praying, because I'd just gone to our Walmart the week before, and they didn't have pants. And so I knew, I was in the back of my head, I was already saying, Sarah, would this match with this? Could I make this happen? Yada, yada, yada. And you know how clothes are in weddings, right? They're real particular these days. They even make people who are going to the wedding dress a certain way. Have you guys ever got an invite for that? I don't have enough dress clothes for those kind of options. But I found pants, and I was fine. But, you know, we have these moments where we get a little shook, you know, a little shaken, feels a little unsteady. And there are lots of situations like that in our lives. Not all of them are funny and you know, lighthearted in that situation. You know, a lot of them have to do with really difficult and frustrating things. You know, Emily was just sharing, you know, this tragedy that's happened on our campus. You know, it shakes you. It shakes you in some really big ways. Thank you for praying for our campus, by the way. I just encourage you to do that. Pray for the team. Pray for the family. But there are things that shake us. And when I look at the book of 1 John, you got a group of believers that have been kind of shaken up. And they're really not even sure if they know who they are, if they're really following Christ or not, if they really have this relationship with God or not. They've kind of been shaken. You know, they have these false teachers that are denying that Jesus is even who he says he is, or does sin really even matter? Or, you know, you have this rise of hatred and really not loving one another, and they're shook. Everybody say shook. I guarantee you've been shook at some point this week. And what I love about 1 John is that you see these repetitive themes that really are helping us have a solid ground, have a solid foundation. And that's always been so key in my life and so important for me to know that I can know. Not just that I have assurance in my salvation, but I have assurance in this God. And so in John chapter 3, there's a lot of ways I could have framed this, and this might not be the best way. I'm not the smartest man in the world. But what I'm going to do is just give us some reminders that I think we find in chapter 3. And I'm going to pull an Adam. I think he read the whole first chapter last time, right, when he preached. So I'm going to do that as well. So prepare yourself for that. But let's go ahead and let's just read this chapter together, and we'll look at a few things this morning. Everybody say shook. Make sure you're still there. We're about to read the Word of God, so pay attention, all right? And chapter 3, verse 1 starts with this. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear friend, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning, because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in them. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. A lot. I really, honestly, every time I preach, there comes a point when I'm preparing, I'm like, can we just read the Word of God and then let it be? I fail so often at preaching in the sense of I'll put too many little illustrations in there, or, you know, too many little stories, and I am limited even in my understanding. John will even say that here in a minute, like he's limited even knowing how and who we're really supposed to be in Christ fully. There's such limitations, and every time I read the Word, I'm just like, we should just let it sit there and just kind of be with us. But they asked me to preach, so I'm going to give you three things. All right, and what we see is that he is reminding us of some really, really important things. And the first one is this: remember who loves you. Remember who loves you. This caught my attention right off the bat as I was kind of going over this, mulling over this. I'm the kind of person when I prepare for a sermon, I don't sit down and write a bunch. I read it and read it and read it, and it mulls in my head. Does that make sense? It just kind of marinates there like a good steak. I'm hungry if you haven't caught that yet. I'll probably talk about food before this is over again. But at the very beginning, he says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us." On us. Love is mentioned 46 times in this chapter. Love is mentioned a ton in 1 John. And really, as you get in the middle of 1 John here in chapter 3, he's hitting on this again and really making this a core concept about how do we know that we know love is going to be a part of our lives in a pretty big way. And one of those things is to remember that God actually loves you, that you are loved by God. And this isn't just kind of an ordinary love he's talking about. He's like, your version may say it a couple of different ways, that he's bestowed love on us or he's lavished love on us. He's poured his love out on us in such a way that the writer is really saying it's other country, it's otherworldly, it's just out of the norm. It's beyond what I can really kind of put comparison to. Does that make sense? Have you ever had experienced something so good you don't really have a good comparison to match it with, or you have to describe to somebody that's like so amazing, but you don't? Every like comparison is like, it just really doesn't help. When you take pictures, you go somewhere cool. Anybody ever been anywhere cool? Okay, all right, cool. I guess none of y'all travel, but man, I love the West for whatever reason. I think it's because the mountains. Short guy likes mountains. Puts you in good perspective. I'm looking at you because you guys are both tall. I'm jealous. But you go and you look at it and it's beautiful. You take a picture of it and you're like, it didn't show what I saw. Does that make sense? God's love is very much like that, right? But what's crazy is, and we'll see this, he's engineered this, that this love is expressed through us, you know, in some really powerful ways, and it's really hard to put words to. It's hard to express, you know, and I just love that the writer here is starting off, hey, look at this great love, this just amazing love, because I think when we get shook, sometimes it's easy for us to forget that God actually loves us. And in fact, that's where some of our doubts and some of our shakiness comes from, right? For example, when difficult things happen, the most common question is why, right? And in that why question are some really other deep questions. Why, God, would you allow this? Do, God, you even love me? Do you even care? Are you even there, right? You get some really big questions that are really questions, do you love me? You know, because typically we look at our actions to see if somebody loves you, right? It would be kind of apparent to you if your husband or wife doesn't love you anymore or something like that. But, you know, there's these weird things that happen in life that just do not make sense, and it makes us question maybe this love. And so John is given this really incredible reminder that in the place that is shaking you, there is a God that loves you more than you can imagine or compare, right? We also have that question come up for us when we mess up. You know, I've talked to so many students over the years that really feel like they can't receive the God's love because of something they've done. Does that make sense? You know, maybe you've been in that spot. Maybe you feel so guilty or ashamed or wrapped up into something that you're shook in a way that, I just don't know if I really believe that God loves me anymore. You know, I can't believe it because my life's fallen apart or because I've made my life fall apart. And I think it's just really, really important and strategic that the writer here is saying, hey, God loves you, and to remember that love. You're looking, if you know that you know, it's going to be based in this love that you're receiving from God, and really receiving that love and remaining in that love and understanding that he really does love you in all contexts and situations of your life. You know, he'll talk about later in verse 16, we know what this love looks like because of Christ and what he's accomplished on the cross. And I say this all the time when I get in conversations on campus or anywhere else, because as a preacher, I tend to over-explain things. If you've ever preached or taught, you know there comes a moment where you're trying to explain something. You really need to just be quiet and like walk off the stage, but you're really trying to get them to understand. And sometimes sharing the gospel or talking about Jesus or any of those kind of things, and you're trying to persuade, you know? And I come to this point every time in those conversations, the only thing that's really fully persuaded me about God is not the knowledge that I've gained about God, or the even cool little glimpses that all these things are great. I'm not diminishing these, you know, these cool little glimpses. The thing that's always persuaded me, about talking my mic off, about God is his love. Like his love is always, it's always the thing that persuades me about, hey, he's real, he's good, he cares. And I just want you to maybe go there in your mind. I don't know if we sit on that a lot. You know, if I were to have you guys share, I won't make you do that today. Usually I make everybody interact. I know I'm past youth minister and that kind of stuff. But if you had to say, where did I encounter God and his love this week, what would you say? Where would you identify that? You know, where have you seen that sweet touch of God's love that is, it feels like a lavishing. It's like, man, he is bestowed. And he begins further to explain, this is kind of how it's been bestowed on you, that you've become his children by having faith in him. But like, as a child of God, man, he has just lavished this love on you that means so much. And it's not something that's just like a moment. It's moments where you are getting to experience that love. And so this morning, just a really quick reminder, God loves you. Well, I mean, from the very beginning, if you grew up in any little churches around, you probably sang a song, Jesus what? Jesus, this I, for the, tells me so. The Bible just told us. It's always the question, do we believe that? And then do we move on that? You know, believing is one thing, following Jesus is another. And so remember this morning that God loves you. I don't know what's shook you this week. And maybe it shook you to the core. Feels like you don't have a foundation anymore. But what is that? Because God's love is there and speaking to that. And so remember who loves you, but also remember who you are. I can't ever say that statement without thinking of Lion King. But this is a distinctive of chapter 3. There's this focus of that we are a child of God. Let me just reread a couple of these verses. And this is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And he goes on and he talks and he kind of breaks us down, and I'll talk about that a little bit. But this bestowing of God's love is not just a bestowing of, hey, you've been saved and rescued, but you are actually in the family of God. You have been made a child of God. You've been born again in such a way that you are now part of this family. It's powerful. It's life-altering. It's like, you ever had somebody welcome you into their family and it just kind of overwhelmed you? In a good way, not in an awkward way. Maybe it was a little awkward. But have you ever had that? Like, you know, they just bring you in. You know, like it's just nothing. And, you know, they give you all this food and all this kind of stuff. I always am so taken back when people just welcome us in. A few weeks ago, or not a few weeks ago, it was a couple of months ago now, we went to Peru and took a group on a mission trip. And, you know, I love everywhere I go in the world and I get a chance to serve, there is this consistent nature of the children of God, and they just welcome people in. They just bring them in. They would. It felt like I didn't deserve it. Does that make sense? And I don't. But you see this bestowing of God's love and this idea that he has welcomed us in and he brings us in to be his child. And that child, as children, we look different. We look different than the world. In fact, they don't even know what we look like is what John is saying here. We think this is John that wrote this. But, you know, think about this. How often do you go to other places other than God to understand who you are? You know, quit looking to other places to try to figure out what a child of God is. He says in this passage that they don't understand who you are. They don't recognize us. They didn't recognize him. They didn't. In fact, they hated him, right? But all the little things that pop up on my social media thread of even how I need to be a parent. I'm trying to figure out, you know, if you guys have any tips on how to be a good parent, let me know. I feel like I fail every day. But I'm always looking, right? We're trying to figure stuff out. But man, maybe we should quit looking at the world to figure out what it means to be a child of God and look at Jesus instead. And John even goes to this extent, he says, I don't even know how this is fully going to flesh out. He's telling about his limitations. It hasn't been revealed to me what this totally looks like to fully be a child of God and all of this to be perfected and right. But he does say this, it's going to be like Christ. That he is forming in us Christ's likeness, that the children of God look different. Everybody say, look different. So remember who you are. You know, if you want to know that you know that you know that we talk about this kind of stuff, it's going to be at the core of understanding and remembering that you're a child of God. And that means that there are different traits to that child. I asked my son a really abstract question, and it really threw him off because I think developmentally he's just not there, right? He's 10. But to ask, if you weren't allowed to talk, how would somebody know that you're my child, right? And so then I had to explain, like, you know, how would they know that by the way you act and the way you behave that you're Trent Creason's child, right? I can't tell you how many college students I have come up and tell me, oh, I can tell them are your kids. And I don't know if it's a compliment or if it's like, man, you're crazy and weird and now your kids are as well, which worries me a little bit. I can tell when they hang around my dad too much because you'll just hear my dad's sayings, you know, or like behaviors, you know, it's just so funny. The older I get, the more I do act like my dad, which is apparently, I guess it's always, you guys have heard people say that, right? I think our parents are just like planted in us, and then it's like these flowers or weeds just start popping up, you know, about who we are. And like, you cannot hide. At some point, you cannot hide who your parents are, good, bad, or ugly. As children of God, we cannot really hide that God is our Father, that has lavished his love on us, and that we are his children. You know, so there's a distinctive here. And so he, you know, this is kind of the comparison that John does. He's real hyperbolic, is that, you know, it's big, it's like he gives big comparisons. I told you guys I wasn't smart, but he compares, and so he's like, hey, this is a child of the devil, this is the child of God, and this is what this looks like, and it's a big deal. And so what does that child look like? Well, he talks about some important things, and specifically, he really dives into this conversation about sin, that, you know, our relationship with sin is going to look different than everybody else. Now, depending on what version you read, it'll basically sound like something, a believer doesn't sin. And sometimes people can get hung up on that the fact that if you're a child of God, you'll have no sin. I think we've talked about that already maybe a couple of times in the last few weeks. But what he's saying is that you don't live progressively in a life of sin, is the understanding of what that is. So a child of God is going to be decreasing. And on this journey of internal and external transformation, that sin is not your ruler in your life. Sin is not the base, the foundation, the core of who you are. Does that make sense? Man, we can get discouraged in that, though, right? How many of you guys have sinned? You don't have to raise your hand. But I love this because this passage tells us not only that, hey, there's a distinction that we should, if we are children of God, if you want to know if you're following Christ, well, sin isn't ruling your life. You're going to be disturbed about that. You're going to be shook about that, but you're going to return to God in that. You know, you think of the prodigal son, like at some point he realized that he was his father's son, he wasn't a pig. Does that make sense? And he got up and he went back, right? There was this humility, there was this repentance, but he realized, it dawned on him, I'm not a pig. I'm my Father's son. And as you're following Christ, you're going to understand that while you're in these places, and you will fall and we will fail, I will fail today, tomorrow, but I realize this is not who I am. I am God's child. And I return to him in that. And we can even get discouraged in that sometimes, I think. Sometimes we look at ourselves as this final product, this thing that, man, just gives, you know, if you're like me, you just get down on yourself. Have you ever, you don't have to answer this, but you've probably struggled with a sin that you, like, man, I thought I dealt with that in middle school, you know? I thought, what in the world? Or you thought that everything was going to get perfect because you got married now. That was a mistake to think that. But you know what I love about God and how we can know that we know as a child of God, man, God is also, not only do we understand we're his child and we're going to return, but man, he is with us. He continues, he actually is probably stirring some of that stuff up for you so that he's beginning to remove that and replace it with truth and life. Man, this journey as a child of God, you know, I want my children not just to know that I love them, I want them to have lived in my love. Does that make sense? And to live in that love is this journey in this, and there's this wrestle of sin that as you know, the writer's talking about, we're learning and leading and going to this place of a pure life, and it's going to change who we are. As Emily talked about, you know, there's these house rules, you know, and the stuff that God is growing in us and helping us. And it really logically makes sense, too. You know, he kind of breaks it down in an argument. He's like, hey, listen, if Jesus came to destroy sin, then it would make sense that the people who are his children are not living onwardly in sin, you know? It just logically makes sense. So there's a difference in how a person who knows Christ and has a relationship with God and is his child than everybody else, you know? And honestly, we look kind of weird in the world. We do. Which goes totally against our culture. Our culture has really kind of wired you to not look weird, to blend in, to conform to something. But conforming to Christ looks very different than the rest of the world. And so, man, that's what we get to, that's who we are as children of God. Remember that, man, you are his child, and this means some really important things. You know, one commentary kind of summed it up: the believer seeks to maintain a pure life, the believer sees a decreasing pattern of sin in his life, his or her life. And there are so many ways you could frame this. And honestly, I ran into the same situation, Emily. There's so much in the book of John that you could really spend a whole lot of time on just a few verses. But for whatever reason, God just brought, hey, remember these things. So remember that he loves you, and remember that you're his children if you have this relationship in faith through Christ. But also remember why you're here. He goes on to really break down in this chapter this big concept that you see in the entire book about loving others, and that is going to be a distinctive mark of a child of God as well, right? Love others. Give somebody a high five. Just show somebody some love real quick. There you go. Oh, that was tough. Very few high fives, very little love in here today. Man. If you were to divide chapter 3 and actually a little bit of the book in half, you kind of get to this point. You'll see where the writer will use phrases like, and this is the message. It's kind of a dividing part, and he's kind of turning and going towards some things. And so here he says in verse 11, for this is the message you heard from the beginning, we should love one another. How simple is that? How simple is this idea of loving one another? Why are we here? To love God and to love others. And if you want to know and kind of be assured in your relationship with God, you're going to be a loving person. Not a loving person and just like kind and, you know, all those. And I want to be careful of those words, because I think that our Lord defines those good words. Does that make sense? But there is a distinctive about God's love through us that's different than just, you can love and not love God. Does that make sense? Kind of, yeah? I don't call that true love. But genuine, real love is going to be rooted in God and then us, right? In him expressing that through us. And so you see this really, straightforward idea from the writer. Hey, if you're following Jesus, you're going to love people. And specifically, you're going to love each other. You're going to love, you know, Jesus said this, guys. This isn't, you know, John chapter 13. Jesus washed the feet and he'll say, people know you're my disciples by the way you what? Love one another. And who is he talking to? Disciples, right? Now, we know that love extends past outside the body of Christ, but he really is saying, hey, dude, they're going to see how you guys are loving one another. This is not a hit on the church. This is just kind of, not this church, but in general. I think it might be a hit on me more, because maybe I've hung out with more believers than I have lost people. But I've actually been hurt more by church people than I have, like, anybody else from another religion. You know, and I've probably hurt more people who are my fellow brothers and sisters than I have other people outside of that. Does that make sense? There's a problem with that, though. It doesn't make sense. Because according to the Bible, if I'm a child of God, you know, there's going to be assurance in that, man, there's this love that's coming out of me that is different and that is unique. You know, he goes on and he explains, hey, you know, don't be like Cain, you know, who belonged to the evil one, who murdered his brother. Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. You know, we've passed from death to life because we love each other. You can tell that you are not dead any longer and you are living because now you are loving, right? And that's a journey too. You and I are not perfect in that. Like, we haven't figured that out perfectly. But, man, it is a journey we're on, you know? And that's what I find unique. I mentioned traveling the world. That's one of those distinctives that no matter where I've been, from Guatemala to Niger to Brazil to wherever, there's been this distinctive of God's people loving each other and then that love flowing out of that place. It doesn't matter if I know the language or not. It doesn't matter if I don't know the custom exactly or I don't like eating with my hands, you know, as I put rice in my face, you know. The distinctive is, man, these people, man, love in a way that's just really different, right? You know it. And if you're following Christ, you've seen that come even out of your life, even in times when you didn't know it was happening, right? At some point, God has worked in your life and you didn't even know or feel that he was. But there's this aspect of love. When I look around this room, I just think of love, really. I mean, I know I kind of gave you guys a hard time because you didn't have high fives and stuff. But, you know, I just see people that, man, on a daily basis, I see God pouring his love out of your life. Just to give you guys some assurance. That, you know, I see Charity up here, or Ray, or, you know, Andrew Vaughn, all these people that where I work and I see places, man, God is works sometimes even when you don't know it often. But there is this love that is about who we are. Remember, this is what we're about. This is who we are, not to do these other things. And he gives some practical things. I think it's really important to know that love is practical. Sometimes we get real ushy-gushy, a little philosophical about love. It's okay, you know, but love is very, very practical, very, very tangible. And, you know, he says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So what does that look like? Well, let me tell you in verse 17. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother and sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but in actions and in truth. Right? Like, there's actually something to this. Now, I would say, sometimes we'll go one way with, oh, I can't love with my words now. No, he's saying just love with the whole thing of who you are. I don't know about you, but I experience a lot of love from words. Have you ever had somebody that says the right thing at the right moment, and you know that wasn't from them, but that's from God in that sense? What does it look like in your family? What does it look like in your neighborhood? You know, but let's start here. What does it look like here? You know, with us, fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, children of this God who has lavished such a love on us that he's made us his children. He's brought us into his family, to his inheritance, to not just inherit, you know, salvation, but to inherit his good traits, you know, to be restored in his image, to have this love about us that is like, oh, it's real, it's here, it's now, to taste and know and see that he's good. You know, if you want to kind of check and evaluate where is my life, and man, I feel a little shook, you're going to see traits of you being led to love like Christ. It doesn't mean you're going to perfect that or do that just right or not fail in that sense, but this is going to be an aspect of who you are. And I want to encourage us in that as well. And he goes on, he says, this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. There's this clear conscience. He's ultimately coming to this point where, like, you know, there's this clear conscience that you're going to have. And you're going to have this confidence before God because of this. And, you know, your own heart can kind of play tricks on you and guilt you and all these things. But the grace is sufficient and forgiveness is sufficient of God for you. And you can approach him confidently in that sense. And so there's going to be these testimonies of love in your life. How has love looked practical in your life in the past week? You know, if you really wanted to just get a very simple question, what does that look like? I get shook about stupid things that cause me to act a little more like a child of the devil than the child of God. Does that make sense? You just have things just not go right. I'm kind of tired of this. I'm kind of tired of McDonald's never having their milkshake machine working, you know? You know, I'm kind of tired of that. maybe you're like me and you have those days that just things kind of pile up and there's lots of stuff all at once and you're kind of tired of that. My reaction, here's the thing, my reaction is not necessarily one of love, right? But here's one thing that I've learned about God. One easy way for me to not have regrets in life is to love like Christ. One easy way for me not to have regret as a father is to love like Christ. One easy way for me, and to not, you know, simple way to not regret who I am as a husband when I die one day is that I've loved Sarah like Christ. I've washed her with the word. I've prayed for her. I've been there. Maybe you're worried about your life. You're a little shook, you know, but it's not rocket science, but man, it's deep. Does that make sense? What we're learning in John is not complicated, but it's deep. And I love that, right? It's rooted. And so remember why you're here. And this is why we're here as Christians. We're not here to save. Jesus does the saving, right? We're not even here to figure all the things out. We can do that. No, I'm not saying just sit like a lump on the log and be really passive. But the writer here is really calling you into this action-oriented space of love. This is a challenge that I have. I work with young adults a lot, and they get real attached to like things and obligations. Like, for example, we'll have great ministry opportunities for them, and they get attached to the program or the idea, and they get overwhelmed or burdened, and they don't even respond sometimes. You know, we have these like, we're like, hey, we want to resource you. Go and do this and empower you to do it. But they get so like attached to the thing. Does that make sense? And they'll say no a lot. And really what I want them to do is just say yes to loving like Christ, like whatever avenue he's given you, like love out in that kind of way and take it. But man, we do that all the time. We make this love thing really complicated and really oriented around other things instead of Jesus. And, you know, this part of the passage, I think, really sounds very familiar to John chapter 15, where Jesus is telling us to remain in his love and that he's going to work in these powerful ways. And so I just wanted to give us a few reminders this morning. Pretty simple. Pretty straightforward, but if you're shook, you know, remember who loves you, God, and not just kind of, you know, boring, mundane love, like crazy love. Love that doesn't make sense. Remember who you are. If you have a relationship with God, then you are his child, and that looks distinctively different. You're trying to figure out, is this really who I am or who I'm not? But then remember why you're here, and that's to live out this love in a real powerful and tangible way. It feels like a very simple thing, but I guarantee you in some way you've been shook and wrestled with one of those three reminders this week. And I pray that those reminders are something that helps you kind of have this solid ground. You know, the writer is giving them some solid ground in the face of false teachers, in the face of confusion about who Jesus even is. We have this solid ground reminded of Psalm 40, where we're learned that this God has pulled us up out of the muck and the mire and put our feet on solid ground and put a new song in our mouth, right? This is who we are. And this is why we're here, to declare this love of God. And so that's how you'll know. And you'll ultimately know, he wraps it up with this. I love this. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. That's the work of the Spirit. These things he's talking about are evidences of the Spirit of God, right? The way you love other people is the evidences. The way you're growing in and out of sin, evidences of this. The way you're receiving the Father's love, even when you feel like you don't deserve it or you feel like it's not even there, really. You know, the evidences of the Spirit, that drawing, that work, this is really, really important because that shows us where all this rests, and it rests in the Lord. It rests in him. And so I hope that and pray that wherever you might be wrestling with assurance, but also that maybe this just leads you to think about, man, what does that look like for me specifically in these areas? I can't answer any of those questions. I just know for me, the week's been wild. The week's been crazy. And when I get that question, like, how's your week? I think my week is different every week. Like, there's this, if you have kids, that's just going to happen in general anyway, right? But there's been good. Like, I got a text yesterday. We have people that are on a campus retreat coming back today. And we have a student that, you know, received the Lord yesterday, you know. There's these moments, you know. I have these moments of just tragedy, you know. I have these sweet moments of hearing, you know, going on Friday morning at 7:30 morning, eating donuts in Gosser Music Building and listening to students play and lead worship. You know, I don't know what your week looks like. I just want to remind you of who loves you. I want to remind you of who you are in that God. And remind you of why you're here. And the answers to those questions will reveal your place with God.
Thanks again for stopping by the podcast of the Vineyard Church in Campbellsville, Kentucky. If you'd like to keep up with what's happening at the Vineyard, you can follow us on social media. Until next time.